Good morning. My name is Donnie Golden. I'm from Phoenix, land of the hot. So I love it up here. Any opportunity I get to come up here, we come. In fact, they know our trailer over at Links Lake. So anytime we come up, I mean, it's great up here. You guys actually have storms. We have chances of storms. And so fantastic to be here. I appreciate your pastor, Brother Don. He's been a special person in my life for many years. And I'm Donnie. I'm from North Hills Church. I've pastored there as a recovery and counselor for 16 years. Resigned and went out to the real world. And I work at Banner Thunderbird Hospital now. But now I'm back on as an elder at North Hills Church. And so it's a church that God has called us to and we love very much. And a church that Don was with me for a while, and that's where we got to know each other. And so it's just a privilege to be here, and just already have been touched. And so first thing I want to start off with, though, is just kind of off the cuff here. A couple weeks ago, I bought a pool vac, and it's one of those you buy now, and they send you something later, and they sent me this card. And Jake, I just want to give this to you guys. Didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I want to start that fund for you guys, okay? God bless. Be there Saturday, and don't just bring your $10 for the meal. Help this little man out. So I came this morning to talk about the wells or pits that we find ourselves in. I love John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. And all of us kind of go, wow, what a great verse. Peace. Anybody here not want peace? The thing is, the phrase right after that, some of you already know what I'm going to say is, but in this world, you will have trouble. You know, I wish it would have said, you may have trouble. Because there's a chance that I might not. But it says you will have trouble. And so many times in my life where I found my trouble, so many times that I've listened to people in counseling that have trouble, the biggest thing that I find is they just try to hang on. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about letting go. In fact, Somewhere out there in cyberland are notes that I sent somebody named Shirley, but instead of .org, I put .com. And so somebody out there has your sermon notes. And I keep waiting for an email to come back saying, could you send the answers, please? So whoever has them, if they're not here today, they're going to be disappointed. I want to start off with a video clip, though. This is somebody who found themselves in one of those situations, one of those things that they just couldn't get out. And so I just want to go ahead and show you this clip before we start off. I hope that wasn't too scary for some of you, okay? But from the great philosopher Merlin, the clownfish, sometimes you just got to let go. I'd like to letting go can be scary, especially when you don't know what's at the bottom of the well or well. This morning, I want to help you recognize how we get into those places in our lives where we find ourselves trapped. And when we are, how can we let go and let God? But first, let me tell you about someone else that was at the bottom of a well. Now, probably you're thinking of Jonah because of just what we saw, but actually somebody else, a different type of well, W-E-L-L. I want to talk about the account of Joseph. And in your Bible, Genesis 37, if you want to follow along, I'm going to start with verse 2. This is the account of Joseph. Joseph was a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers and sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he had been born to him at his old age. He made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word of him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of this dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brother, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. His father said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him in one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." What a great brother. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, his richly ornamented robe he was wearing. And they took him and threw him in the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up with his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother." Great brotherly love. "Our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped it in the robe and the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn into pieces." Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. You see, so many times in life, we find ourselves in what we call wells of life. This morning, I want to look at three different wells, that how we get into them. Because I think there's some times where we get into them and we don't understand how we got into them. So this morning, I want to look at the three different wells. And the first one's this. I believe there are three different ones. And the first one is a well that just happens. It just happens. When I was 8 years old, I had leukemia. When I was eight back in the days, just a few years ago, it was the disease that was brand new. There was no cure for it. Today, there's a 98% cure for it. But when I had it in 1972, it was the first time they've really ever heard of acute lymphocytic leukemia. It was a new disease. They had no cure, and I endured a couple of years of joint swelling. Every joint in my body had swelled to at least twice the size. Radiation, chemotherapy. I remember one night my mom sat down and she said, "Let's just get this over with." And she took a comb through my hair and the hair just came out with the comb. I remember when my parents telling me about signing papers that actually said that they released the doctors because everything they were doing was experimental. And the experiments weren't working. To the point they took me to the ER one night. I hadn't ate for 2 weeks. And my white count was below 100. And they took me in and the doctors looked at me and they examined me and they brought me back out to my parents and they said, "Mr. and Mrs. Golden, there's nothing else we can do. Take your son home. And probably in the next day or two, he's probably going to die." You see, it wasn't something somebody gave to me. It wasn't something that I went out searching for. It wasn't something I was looking for and wanting. No, it just happened. There are times in life where life happens. The Bible said, you will have trouble. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and we don't know why. Just 2 weeks ago, I read in the newspaper that there's at a church camp, a freak storm hit and a tree fell over and killed a little boy. Things just happen. And sometimes we have to come to a point where we accept the presence and we pray for the future and we begin letting go and letting God. The second well that we find ourselves in is similar to the one Joseph found himself in. You see, verse 24 says that his brothers threw him in the cistern. These are wells that we are pushed into. Verse 27 said they not only pushed him into that well, but then they sold him to the Ishmaelites. But God was still with him. The Bible says God took favor on Joseph. And so he was living the good life when he got to Egypt. Not only was he sold to the Ishmaelites, he was sold to the Egyptians. But then he became a head of the household for Potiphar. But then what happened? His wife starts checking him out. The Bible said he was handsome. And so she wanted a part of him. And she set him up one day and told her husband that he tried to get her. And they threw him in jail. You see, there are sometimes we're just pushed in to wells. Some of us have things happen to us that we had little or no control of. And you need to know, if you've ever been emotionally abused, physically abused, or sexually abused, you need to hear this. It is not your fault. You are not the one that perpetrated this on you. Some of us are in relationships where other makes decisions that are out of our control. The spouse that has an affair, or the family member that begins drinking again. The person that we know that takes financial risk, or the person that we maybe not know that scams us out of our life savings. Things happen to us because of other people. They happen because they are out of our control, and because of it, we find ourselves in a deep well. Now, these are different than things that just happen, because these are things that are created by other people and other circumstances. Does that make sense? The third well that we find ourselves in are ones that we jump into. Anybody experience that? I mean, look at the story of Joseph. You know, most people look at this story and they think it's all about their brothers. But as I looked at it a little bit more closely, the Bible really doesn't say a lot about Joseph himself, other than the Bible said that he was a teenager, so probably about 17 years old. He was handsome, good-looking, he was strong. This is a recipe for arrogance, entitlement, attitude. Anybody have teenagers? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Any of you been teenagers? The Bible in verse 2 says he was a tattletale. It said that he went to his father to give a bad report about his brothers. Dad, they're not letting me do this. So I'm not sure if Joseph was totally pushed into the well or if he stood on the edge of it going, hey, brothers, I had this dream. You know, was he rubbing it in a little bit? I had this dream, brothers, that you're going to bow down to me. Not only that, I had two dreams. And sometimes when we're standing at the edge of the well, why do we test the waters? On vacation last week, I saw a t-shirt that said, most ER visits start with, hey, look at me. Right? Now, most of us just don't line up to jump into a deep well, right? Because we know, most of us know that if we do, it's going to hurt if we fall into it. But why do we walk the line? We flirt with danger. It's like we test the waters. I can't tell you how many times in counseling I've heard the phrase, but I didn't think it would hurt anyone. You see, an affair starts with just one thought. Relapse begins with just one drink. So how do we let go and let God? How do we allow God to help us out of these wells and find freedom? Because a lot of times when we're in the midst of the well, we are so caught up. I love the scene where Merlin, the clownfish, was just beating himself up against the teeth of the well. Bam, bam, bam. We do that. We find ourselves in these wells and we just beat our heads up against the wall. In recovery, we say we're trying the same thing over and over again, expecting something different to happen. But how do we find the help to get out of the wells? The first thing is this: we stop digging. It's amazing in counseling that when I hear people come in, they start telling me about the well that they're in. And I'm saying, so what'd you do about it? I had a young man come in, and he was distraught. His wife was getting ready to leave him. He was losing his family. He had lost all his finances. He's getting ready to lose his job. And I said, well, where did it start? And he said, well, I have a gambling addiction. I said, so what happened? He goes, I blew our whole bank account. I said, well, what happened? He goes, well, my wife asked me what happened to our bank account. I said, what'd you tell her? I lied. I said, well, I mean, isn't she more intelligent than that? And he goes, what about your credit cards? They're all maxed out. What'd you tell your wife? I lied. We keep digging. And friends, when you find yourself down in the well, stop digging. Because you just get deeper and deeper. What are other ways that we dig? We try to control the situations. We manipulate. We worry. Does any of this help? It only gets us deeper. Merlin just banged his head up against the wall, expecting it to disappear. Wells just don't disappear. It's letting go and letting God. In fact, in Luke 12, 22 through 23 says this: Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat, clothes to wear, for life consists of far more than food and clothing. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't do little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Do you understand that worrying is an attempt to control? You know, I used to think worrying worked because everything I worried about never happened, right? But worrying is actually not trusting God. But the Bible tells us that Joseph trusted God and accepted his circumstances. And in Genesis 39, verse 2, it tells us the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And the same God that was with Joseph is with you. No matter where you're at in your life, God is there. Isaiah 41 tells us this: God reminds us that he is and has not forgotten or rejected us. In verse 10, he tells us, So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I love this, I will hold you up with righteousness in my right hand. Now, the second thing that you need to know, that when you find yourself in the well, not only do you need to stop digging, but you need to look for God's way out. Okay? When I was in the hospital, I couldn't walk. My joints were swelling. We lived in Indiana at the time, and so they thought maybe the climate in Texas would be, the drier weather would help. So they sent us there, and we were living with my aunt, and I became sicker, and so they sent me to the hospital. This little Baptist preacher came into my room one day, and he said, Donnie, he goes, the only thing I can do is give you this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But remember that no temptation, no wells that come into your life are no different from what others have experienced. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. When you are tempted, when you are in the wells of life, He will show you a way out so you will not give in to it. God's way out, not ours. I've tried a lot of my ways out. You go to Barnes & Noble, there's a whole section of people's ways out. God's ways out. In 1 Corinthians, He will show you so you won't give in to it. God's way out, not ours. I love it when Merlin and Dory are hanging on the well's tongue. And he looks at Dory and he says, "How do you know it will be okay?" What'd she say? "I don't." That's letting go and letting God. That's trusting God. I wanted to say during that clip when I first heard that where she says, "I don't," I want to say, "But I know who does." God does. You see, so many times we try to control our situation. And we don't follow God's way out because in every well of my life, there was always that way out. And he showed it to me clearly. The door would open, but there'd be four other doors for me to try. And when you're tired of being in the well, look for His ways out. Sometimes we can't see it. But you just have to trust. Just like Dory said, "I don't." And she let go. Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of my favorite movies. Making sure I have the right one where Harrison Ford and Sean Connery is in there. And they're looking for the Holy Grail. And he's standing at this cavern that he looks down. And it's thousand of feet down. And the book says, "Step out in faith." Have you ever seen that one? And he gets to the edge there. And he just kind of closes his eyes and boom, it's there. You see, that's God. He's saying, "Trust me, I have the way out." Well, if you finish the story of Joseph, you see that his way out was through jail, through servanthood, through the hands of the Egyptians. Wasn't really the way that he wanted, but yet it was God's way. The way may not always be easy and sometimes more trouble than it's worth. But if we accept God's way out, He will rescue us. In Psalms 107:13, it says this, "They cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and He rescued them." To be able to let go and let God, the last thing is, that you have to trust His promise. You have to trust God's promise. In Jeremiah 30:17, here's a great promise. God says, "I will give you back your health again, and I will heal your wounds." The night the doctors told my parents to take me home, that he's probably going to die in the next day or two, my mom and dad called our pastor. And I mean, my mom and dad, I was raised fourth generation Church of God. I mean, the day after I was born, I think, was Sunday, and I've been in church ever since. You know, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, if the doors were open, my dad had us there. And so my mom and dad had been praying the whole time, "God, heal our son, heal our son, heal our son." We had people around the world praying, "God, heal Donnie." The pastor came over that night and anointed me. And it was the first time my parents said, "God, he's yours." We let him go. The next morning, I woke up. I hadn't ate for 2 weeks. And the next morning, when I woke up, the first words out of my mouth were, "I'm hungry." Yeah. Amen. My wife says that's my only words now, so. And so my mom and dad, instead of feeding me, rushed me back to the hospital and said, "He's hungry." And the doctor said, "Well, feed him." See what happens. And my white count jumped from 100 to over 1,000. And it kept climbing. That's letting go and letting God. No matter what pits we find ourselves in or hurt that you're going through, God promises, Jeremiah 30:17, I will heal your wounds. And you got to know, God never ever wastes a hurt, because he will use it to show his power. James says it like this in James 1:2-3. Brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, you know, it says whenever, not if, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. You see, when we let go, that's how we find freedom. That's where the fun begins, when we let go and let God. Because we know we're not in control. And you know, your son's story touched my life today. And for any reason I was here today was to hear that. When we are in the wells of life, that's when God's power shines and gives us freedom. And I don't know about some of you, I don't know many of you, but I sense that some of you are in one of those areas where maybe it just happened. Maybe because of some other choices put you in. Or maybe you're like me a lot of times and you just jumped in. God wants to give you freedom today. And as we worship, let God speak to your heart. Throw the shovel out. Throw it up. You got people like your pastor and other people. I would love to have a life friend like Dory that just keeps putting it as it is. Huh. Looks half full to me. Find those people in your life that will help you out of that well. Let's worship. Let's pray. And if there's something that you're struggling with today, bring it here. Let's pray with you.